Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight we will be touching on a very important topic, and I must confess that this topic can be easily misunderstood. I pray that instead of you misunderstanding me, you will see light in this, and by God's own grace, the church of God will be built, and the name of our God will be glorified. I'll be talking concerning pastoral care. Pastoral care. I have no fear to actually deal with this topic today, because I must confess to you, I may not be a beneficiary of what I'm going to say, since my time is limited. But for the pastors that are in your midst, and yet the one that will be coming soon, I pray that the church of God will do things right in such a manner that this church, Ikoyi Baptist Church, will be well spoken of, not by mere human beings, but angels will testify concerning your treatment of your pastors, and you'll be richly blessed. I'm saying this because the areas I'm going to touch may actually look awkward for a pastor to be talking about. But like I said, in this assembly, all we are asking for is that we'll be edified and God will be glorified. May the Lord help us, even in this little study. We'll read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 7. You know that I'm reading New King James Version. I have not gone yet. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. I read through this particular passage because I know that the qualifications of a bishop or a pastor is such that when you truly read through, you get scared to even want to embrace the calling of God. But may I say this by the grace of God, that for those who actually go through it after being called by God, they have chosen a good work. I see also that members of the church will always want the church to grow in all aspects, especially in the area of spirituality, finance, and numeric aspect. And so instead of members criticizing their leadership, thus causing disaffection, and of course, conflict, it is important that members know how to handle their relationship with their pastor. Let me give you a statistic that I came across with. Very bad. Very, very bad statistic. It is said that 70% of pastors actually show that they don't have any close friend or someone they can call a close friend. 70%. And 70% feel that they are grossly underpaid. 90% actually show that they work between 55 to 75 hours a week. 80% see ministry in a negative way. And it is actually in a negative way because it is affecting their families. 80% feel unqualified and discouraged in their role as pastor. 50% will have left the ministry, but because they don't have any other means of making a living, they are stuck with it. And it is said that 80% of those who enter the seminary or Bible school will leave the first 5 years. Well, you may say that it seems as if we don't understand. We have not seen that happen. Sincerely, they are happening. And lastly, 70% constantly fight depression. After this particular statistic that I've read, may I now come to speaking to the church in order that you'll be a blessing to your pastors and not a means of discouraging them, not becoming a target for Satan to use in order to drive away your pastors. And I'm talking about anyone that has come as maybe church pastor or minister of whatever. This aspect is important. The number one aspect, which I believe that indeed many people in the church don't realize, is that you need to pray for and with your pastors. Some of us will call our pastors and say, I've not seen you. When I was sick, you didn't come to see me. And then we go on and on and on and on. Not actually being mindful of the fact that your pastor is human and may be going through these things. I want to give you an example. There was a particular lady that was sick in the church. And guess what? She had to go even overseas in order to go for the treatment and so on and so forth. And guess what? I never knew that there was something that actually was held against me. And I was thinking that all was well. Until I was able to visit one day. And I heard, now I've forgiven you. I said, what sin did I commit? You have forgiven me. What sin did I commit? You heard that I was going overseas for treatment and you didn't come. And guess what? Around that very time, I was seriously sick. Seriously sick. To the point that, if not for God, and of course, my yard that gave me pepper soup. And then after hearing my own side of the whole thing, you know what? She became a little bit apologetic, saying that she didn't know. How will you know? Who will the pastor, run to and say, hey, I'm sick, come and pray for me? No. Maybe fellow pastors, if you're fortunate like me to have so many pastors around like this. What I'm saying in essence is this. Please, let us try as much as possible to know that the work of the pastor or pastors is so enormous to the point that you do not in any way have a plan for a day and say that that is the plan you'll carry through all the day. So many things actually come our way, stealing the time from us. People come for counsel. People come for prayers. People come, even outsiders come, to the point that you don't have the time that you had actually planned in order to achieve something that you can go home and say, yes, I had these plans and I've actually achieved 80% of them. And therefore, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for these pastors. We need to pray with these pastors. When you go into the office and you've finished talking, please remember to just say, Pastor, can we pray? It is a wonderful sound to actually have this done from a member to the pastor. He knows how to pray. Yes, he has prayed before and he has blessed you. But you, a chosen generation, should use that exercise and apply it. I know that when Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened? He had three of his disciples there. I read carefully that passage, which actually can be found in the book of Matthew, I believe, Luke also. And here we see that while he made the disciples to come, John and Peter, James and John, and he went somewhere to pray, what did he do? He came back to see them if they were actually doing what? Joining him. It was a very bitter time for him. In fact, the Bible says that he was sorrowful even to the heart. He was so sorrowful to the point that he did not Okay, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to what? To death. That is how much. And guess what? Peter, James, and John were busy what? Sleeping. And he warned them, pray so that you will not enter into what? Temptation. Guess what? A church that criticizes her pastors may enter into temptation. Why? Because the Bible says it. In fact, it came from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just get rid of the sheep, of the shepherd, and the sheep will do what? Scatter. And that is why it is important that you pray for and with your pastors. Mention them by name, your daily prayers. Mention them by name. When you are visiting the church during the weekdays, go to their office and let them actually know that you have them in mind. Secondly, please testify to them. Probably they have just finished preaching. Testify to them that you've been blessed, if truly God has blessed you through that ministration. Make them to actually know that you were there, not sleeping, not wandering off. You were there. You were blessed. You know what actually that happens, what that brings? It brings more courage to for hard work. Averagely, a pastor spends about 20 to 40 minutes preparing a sermon. One sermon. You may have the idea and you may not be penning down something, but guess what? You are thinking about it. You are even sleeping and dreaming about it. And when you come down to do what we call sketching down and so on and so forth, the average time you have spent for a sermon or a Bible study is around 20 hours or more. And in order for that man of God, for that woman of God, to actually know that God is using him or her, I believe that we need to do something about that. Let's read together, for instance, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 7. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 to 7. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. What happened? Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. See what actually happens here. Paul and the rest of the his team might be going through affliction, persecution, stoning, and so on and so forth. But hearing that the work that they did with a particular assembly was not in vain, but they were growing. That affliction they were going through became nothing. It was actually a thing of joy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Why? Because the faith of this particular assembly in Thessalonica encouraged them. Encourage your pastors. Encourage them. And I say this to you, as they are encouraged, even so, they will carry you into the presence of God in prayer. And when they see you, you'll be a source of joy for them. Thirdly, because of time, because I want you to ask questions. I will want you to ask questions. If I preach concerning this, sincerely speaking, I will have just blabbered and gone. The third thing is, please, I beg you in the name of the Lord, care for your pastors financially. Care for your pastors financially. None of your pastors must be a beggar. In Orthodox churches, and you know what I mean by Orthodox churches, Baptist, Anglican, Methodist, Presbyterian, and Roman Catholic, which one have I left out? Those ones that were established many years ago, they are different from the Pentecostal churches. And I said to you, while the Orthodox churches have moved to, is it the far left? Whereby they are not even, they don't even want to talk about pastor having a cobalt in his pocket. The Pentecostals have moved far to the right, whereby the shepherd is getting fat, and the sheep is getting leaner. The thing about it is this, and I know that by the grace of God, and I'm saying this not wanting to actually buy you or make you feel good and something. I am speaking the truth from this pulpit, and it will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth. IBC is trying. IBC is trying. Why? I pastored the church where they would depend on the convention scale, and whatever they say is minimum, that is maximum for them. When they say minimum salary for this so and so, that is maximum for them. We have actually fulfilled all righteousness. We are not going lower than. In Ikoyi Baptist Church, we have a different scale, different from that of the convention. And in fact, they don't know how to place our pension because the pension is higher than the scale that actually they're supposed for us. But notwithstanding, it is important for us. It is important for us to know that we can still do better. I want to thank God for this wonderful congregation called Ikoyi Baptist Church, for the beautiful accommodation that you have just purchased for the ministers of this church. And sincerely speaking, I've gone to so many churches and entered into their pastoriums, and I have seen very few that can be compared even to our minister's house, not to talk about our church pastor's house. I say to you, more grace to your elbow. It is important for us to know that no pastor should be, should actually be pushed into asking for loan from the church because of a particular need that is essential within the family, which must be met, but no money. I pray sincerely you will not allow your pastors to be in debt, but you'll find something to do concerning that. I want to also believe that indeed the clothing and so on and so forth that we see in a church like this, for instance, I think the ministers have actually imbibed in it that we wear suit on Sunday official service, Abby. And I'm not saying that it will continue when the new pastor comes, but if they are wearing suit, as one of the comedian will say, there's a difference between suit and coat. Don't let them wear coat. Let them wear suit. The Lord will bless you for that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we see Paul actually saying here that the welfare of the pastor should be taken care of well. He says that let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And then it says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox, which is, while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. The Lord will bless you for that. And let me go quickly to this aspect also, that by the grace of the Almighty God, all this saying within the church in conference, if anybody rises up to say something about, we don't have money in this church, we don't have money, it's a curse. Let somebody rise up and say, shut up, we have money. It's only that we will know how to spend it well. It's a curse. We don't have. I pray sincerely that the Church of God will make positive proclamation, positive declaration. And in this, you know, it's not about saying that we are exaggerating. If this church is one of the richest churches or Baptist churches in the Nigerian Baptist Convention, for anybody to rise within our midst to say that we don't have, I believe that is the greatest liar. And I know that only Satan can be a liar. Let's be careful. Then the fourth thing I will say is this, that please, I beg you, take care of your pastor's wives. Take care of your pastor's wives. I know that this is a touchy area, but sincerely speaking, I like the modesty that actually I see in Ikoyi Baptist Church. We are not one of the churches whereby you see people putting on, you know, heavy gold chains and trinkets rising like that of the Indian people. I want to thank God for that. But it happens that when you see something that can be corrected, don't just gossip about it. Do something about it. Mrs. Lawal has been highly blessed in this church. When I came in 1992, I came in with one Babariga. You know what they call Babariga? Agbada. I left this place with so numerous Agbadas that I've given out a lot, and I still have a lot, to the point that if I should wear them, even in my village now, I'll be considered a senator, and I'm not a senator. I did not buy them. You give them. I did not buy. I have not seen Mrs. Lawal go to buy something in Nigeria, especially our clothing and so on and so forth, to say that I'll give it to the tailor to sew for me. They have always been gifts. And we know the givers. And they will never lack. See these pastors' wives. If you clothe them, guess what? You are clothing the master that they work for. You know what? These ones are servants of Christ too. They live in the midst of affluence. Let that affluence radiate on them. As these wives are trying to honor their husbands, they are also trying to honor the Lord with their lives. And they are trying actually to see that, you know, they do things in ways that will please the Lord. By the way, all of our wives have abandoned work outside. Not because they don't qualify. Even some were working before. But in working and seeing that they were not in any way fulfilling God's will within the membership that their husbands are laboring in, they decided to quit in order to complement their husbands. And I say to you this Bible study, which actually I said is a study, that you will, by the grace of God, look at them. They must not appear shabby. They must not bring shame to the cause of Christ. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 42. Matthew 10, 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his rewards. Yeah. You know, you say this something, give us never lack. Give us never lack. Do you believe in it? Yes. It is true. The Bible says so. But we see that you have, but you don't give. But few who actually know how to give have never suffered want. Why don't you join them? Then again, I think there's a fifth one, I think. Take care of the library. Is it library or library? Whichever one. You know what I mean by that. It is important for the minister of God to have a library where he can actually look for resources. To look for resources. It is not a thing of decoration to have books in his office or her office. And the books that can actually be meaningful vary. They may not be theological books. It may be on psychology. It may be on philosophy. It may be on astronomy. It may be on any subject. Why? Because the pastor must be well-rounded. So when you're discussing even finances, of which I'm not in any way good at, I'm good at mathematics, not finance. When you talk about money in the church, I sleep. That's the truth. But it is good for me to know. It is good. And if the church can stop just giving pastors, dividing all the money from for books into 12 and paying it with salaries, let them have this money in chunk so they can use it well. You travel a lot. If you see a book that is actually very interesting, buy it for them as a gift. You'll see that indeed they will be well polished. Let me actually say that, you know, for pastors to be reading and so on and so forth is very much biblical. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 13, you know, Paul sent for his books, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments, and the books, especially the parchments. It is important for pastors to read, and they need to read books. Internet might have actually made things easy, but not all the books can be found available, even on internet. So it is important. I pray that we'll do that, and the Lord will help us to continue to bless his church in Jesus' name. Lastly, and this is very, very, very important, follow their leadership. Follow their leadership, especially the church pastor that will be coming soon. Follow his leadership. And I know that the other ministers were keen, and so must the church keen. Why? Because when we gave the report on that very fateful day in June, we reported, and truly so, that the Holy Spirit led us to the choice of this candidate. And it is true. And therefore, if the Spirit has led his servant to your midst, what should happen? Embrace him. Be open-minded. Carry him. And let him actually feel that he is in the midst of godly people. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that will be unprofitable for you. That will be unprofitable for you. I want us to note some, you know, key words there. Obey. Submit. Be submissive. And then it goes on to the fact that they must give account. And then what you do will bring what joy? Will bring joy and not grief. And when this happens, it will be, if you bring them sorrow, it will be unprofitable for you. Let me stand here to say this. You know, some people are receiving God's blessings, but in trinkles. What we call mercy drops. When actually they should be receiving God's blessings in showers. Why? Because they make life so difficult for the man of God. Let me ask you, church, let me ask you this question. Whose church is this? God's church. Christ's church. The day it becomes my church, it ceases to be a church, but a social club. I want to say this, and please, after this, you ask questions. By the grace of God, whichever one I can answer, I will. And if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you. If you are a member of the body of Christ, and you are not finding it easy to embrace the man that God has sent to lead his church, the best thing for you, if after you have prayed and you're convinced that you cannot stay under his ministration, guess what? Leave. Leave. The Lord will direct you somewhere else where you can be fruitful and you will not miss heaven. My first pastorate, I learned a lot from the former leader of the church, a seasoned lawyer. A lawyer, actually, would say, I'm not in the category of his, what do you call themselves, learned man. But I used to tell them, I'm more learned than any lawyer. Why? What I studied the whole Bible, not just part of it, bringing out the laws from it. But then, let's leave that alone. This man, far older than I was, he was twice, if not more than twice my age, well respected, not only in the church, but in the society. As soon as I came, the man just took the mic and said, now the Lord has sent his under shepherd. Don't come to me again for any pastoral ministration or whatever. The one that God has chosen is here. I am releasing all my duties to him. He did not only say it, he acted it. He acted it. He's still alive. I want to say this. If you gang up against the man of God, you are ganging up against God himself. The result can actually be found in so many passages of the scriptures. Moses was one of them. The sister, older sister, ganged up against him, including Aaron. And what happened? The Lord dealt with such people. You know what the Bible says? Touch not my anointed and do my servant no harm. May God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.